Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the last Naked Sports Show, certainly of 2008 anyway, for the summer. Yes, already it's the end of our summer run, and it's me, Phil Pritchard, on my own tonight, as that vulture has absconded. He was last seen heading away from Stansted Airport at a rate of knots, back towards Ipswich and the Felixstowe area, but I don't think he's going to make it here on time, so it'll just be me and well-established guests, who this week are Phil Ham.
Hello.
Right, we're a little bit loud, let me turn you down.
Yeah, I know people keep saying that about me.
And Ray Slay.
Bonjour.
Who's also a bit loud, in more ways than one. Anyway, welcome.
Bonjour.
Welcome,
so Ray, what do you think?
So, yes, it is. It's the last Naked Sports Show of the summer. Naked Football returns next week with Graham and Phil.
And snow and all kind of autumnal weather will strike.
You know what it's like, a rubbish summer, and then as soon as the football season's due to start, first game of the season, it's shorts and T-shirts at Portman Road. It will be nice and warm as it always is. I can remember some stifling hot ones, actually, first game of the season. Gillingham, Reading in recent years spring to mind. Who was last year? Was it Cardiff last year, first game?
Sheffield Wednesday, yes.
That was hot as well. And Gary Roberts scored a screaming volley. The Audi Park.
His last contribution in a town shirt.
Start of last season. So, anyway, subjects to discuss tonight. We've got the cricket, although
we'll gloss over that before Ray
comes out in a hot sweat and starts swearing. Speedway, football, all the usual comings and goings. And I must say now, before I forget, my wife has given me a message to read out, so I must make sure I do it because I forgot last week. Her badminton club play at Great Blakenham Village Hall on a Tuesday night between 8 and 10. 14 years and over, all abilities welcome. They don't play in a league or anything, it's just a social thing. A few people get together and have a bit of a knockabout. There's equipment provided, so if anybody's interested, just turn up. That's the Great Blakenham Village Hall, Tuesday nights, 8 till 10. So, right, I've done my good thing for the day, so I can move on now.
Badminton ticked off the list.
That's badminton, tick that one.
Octopus.
Yeah. And you get your tea when you get home.
Well, tea before you go up. Because
tea on the table when you get home.
If you're lucky. If you're very lucky in my house. So, yes, Octopus, Phil, I heard you mentioning that when you were talking about obscure sports on Monday, actually, on Monday morning show.
I know nothing of it other than the word Octopus.
I've played it.
Have you really?
It's really good. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I did a bit of kind of a Sabacqua club that I was in when I was, 14 or so.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that they used to play as part of your Sabacqua training to get you breathing underwater and so on. We used to have a 10-minute game at the end of each session. It was good fun.
Breathing underwater?
Well, yeah, I mean, you
isn't it a trick not to breathe underwater?
Well, I guess you take a lung full of air and go underwater with your flippers and your snorkel on and push the puck along the floor and then try and score a goal. But the trick is not to get your fingers hit by the puck because it weighs a bit.
Well, right, I see. There's a puck and it's kind of essentially a kind of hockey underwater.
Basically an ice hockey, yeah, pretty much, ice hockey kind of puck. There's two goals at either end and the little bat.
Two goals at either end?
Well, one goal. Two goals on the pitch. and the bats are different coloured. There was on the kit that we had, there was a black one and a white one. So the white team with all the white bats and the black team with all the black ones, and that's how you told your teams apart.
Oh, I see. Of course.
So if you're swimming along with your arm outstretched, you can straight away see who's on whose side.
Yeah, so that sounds all right. I mean, I'm a really, really, really ropey swimmer, so I'm not, I wouldn't be up to it. I mean, it's sure, so something that Ian Westlake, I'm sure, would excel at.
Sure he would, yeah. I mean, he's not like he's doing anything better with himself these days.
Not at the moment, no. He's on his way from Leeds, isn't he, I think?
Yeah, well,
he still lives down here, apparently, I was reading the other day.
Yeah, well, I do know of his young lady friend, and I think he did, he certainly was living, whether he bought or someone, bought or not, I think in Weatherby, which is
Yorkshire,
isn't it? And then obviously he was alone at Brighton, and she was down there with him, but no, I know he wasn't included on their Leeds' pre-season tours, or was not really featured in their friendly, so I think he will be on his way sooner rather than later. So that doesn't seem to feature under McAllister. What about you, Ray? Have you ever played Octopus?
Never even heard of it, dear boy.
That'd be a no then.
Not even in a drunken stupor on a Saturday night have I played Octopus.
It's probably wise. We're one of the worst sports to play in a drunken stupor, I think. I know, an impromptu game of drunk Octopus.
Switched to Hawks as well.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So we probably should ought to cover cricket, really, won't we, Phil?
We had. I had a quick look on the hang on, let me move all this rubbish out. On the BBC website before we came on air, and it's
grim reading, I think is the phrase.
Yeah, for want of a better phrase.
It's all out.
Yes, all out, 231. Pretty disappointing. There was a couple of them who looked like they were getting set for a reasonable score. Cook got to 76 and got himself out. Bell got to 50, so that's another half century for him. So I don't think you can lay too much blame at the hands of those. But Flintoff 36, Ambrose 22, Strauss 20. You really want them to get at least double that. And then the rest of them, we got 12 runs for the other six. Vaughan 0, Peterson 4, Collingwood 4, Sidebottom 2, Anderson 2, and Panesar 2. You don't expect Sidebottom, Anderson and Panesar, I suppose, to get too many runs, given that they're the tail end. But even so, it'd be nice to see them wag a bit and at least get to double figures, 20-something.
Mm.
And the top half get, well, 50s, 60s at least.
Well, it's two or three very dodgy decisions, I'm told, by the umpires, but Peterson's, I had to see them.
Dodgy, wasn't it? Yeah.
Again, we seem to have been stitched up by officialdom, but it's our fault. We should have had the appeals thing in play, but we turned the appeals thing down, England.
Yes.
So, their own fault, really, but two very dodgy decisions, I'm told.
But I think the big thing that everyone will pick up on is, of course,
the Vaughan, selection, isn't
Nought,
it?
Nought, first ball.
Nought, first ball, Vaughan.
Again, failing.
Yeah.
But that was one of the dodgy ones, apparently. So when the luck follows you around, it's bad luck. It just follows you.
Well, it is true. But at the end of the day, what people are going to look at is the record books that show. I think it was on the radio the other night. He's only passed 55 times in the last 27 innings or something, equating to that very, very low number of kind of decent innings. And there comes a point when.
It's going to be question marks, isn't it?
Well, you know, he may be a good captain. I think he's generally accepted that Vaughan is a good captain. But can you carry a captain? I mean, England did with Mike Brearley to some extent.
Exactly.
And he was not a great scorer of runs. But can England kind of do that now when really you've got the consistency isn't there from the rest of the other batsmen, is it?
Cook is quite consistent. He always gets in 20s, 30s. He doesn't convert to hundreds, but he always gets a reasonable score, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And Strauss, how you hit wicket, I'm not sure. If it's a camera of bats on a Sunday afternoon and a few jugs, I could expect a few hit wickets, but for a test match batter who's an opener, how you hit wicket, I'm not too sure. I'll perhaps watch that later with interest.
Mm. I wouldn't say it was that hit wicket. I stepped back, as it were, to play a sort of pull. And sat on my stumps.
It could have been quite painful.
To the great deal of hilarity from my friends.
Would that have been out sat on wickets rather than hit wickets?
Yeah, I think sat wicket. Yeah.
It's like an own goal at football, isn't it?
Yeah.
You just feel so embarrassed. But apparently Strauss did actually stand all over his stumps. It wasn't just a nick to bail off, it was the whole thing came out.
It was. He castled himself.
Yeah. So it should be fun. Fun.
But I mean, Peterson, coming back to inconsistency, Peterson is being. You know, he has a lot of innings where he starts to get in and then is out. And Bell has lots of innings where he gets around 35. Like Mark Ramprakash used to get 27 every innings, didn't he? I mean, Bell has recently started turning them into hundreds and such. Mm-hmm. So, but can you carry a captain who is kind of primarily a captain rather than a batsman? In this day and age?
Especially batting that high up the order.
Well, exactly.
Batting in at three, isn't he?
Or should you name another captain and bring someone like O.A. Shah into the team?
Yeah.
Papara.
Papara is perhaps lower down the order.
Papara at the moment, Papara.
Yeah, I watched the innings the other day. Was it Sunday?
Colin has got an average of 13, I believe, this season, and Papara is knocking the ball all over the shop and just can't get a look in.
Yeah.
So he must feel a little bit miffed.
There's a few who aren't in the squad who perhaps might be. I mean, they've said to Harmison, to Hogarth, to Jones, get yourselves fit, get back in county cricket, take wickets. They've been doing it all summer long.
And
Harmison got called up for the squad for this one, but didn't make the final 11. Jones is still not back. Hogarth's not. And as we said at the start of this Naked Sports run, Ray, he'll run in all day for you. He's an experienced, proven campaigner at test level, and he's dropped right off the radar. And he's come out and said, hasn't he fears for his test future.
And meanwhile, Pattinson gets called up from absolutely nowhere, much to the kind of and the captain seemed perplexed about it, let alone.
Well, Peter Morse passed the blame. Well, Michael said it's
both
Michael
passed the blame.
Peter Morse passed the blame very quickly to Mr. Vaughan, didn't he?
Mm.
Well, Michael said it, and Michael knows his wicket, and Michael's decision.
Mm.
So Peter Morse distanced himself straight from that straight away.
Pattinson was brought into the squad, wasn't he, as a kind of...
But Trentley was sent home, bless him, turned up. You go home, this guy from nowhere drives in, don't even know his name. I never heard of him when he got in the squad.
Yeah, but I think the point was that he was identified as a type of bowler that, and then in the kind of Hoggard-ish, side-bottom-ish mould, wasn't he? And it got to the day, and Vaughan said, well, we need this type of bowler, and he was the man that was there, so... There's not a lot of joined up thinking, though, is there, when the captain has...
You could have had Hoggard. Hoggard was available.
But England's captain, I don't think, had actually seen Pattinson play, had he?
I don't know what the story is, but it's a disaster.
He's only played 11 first-class games, hasn't he? He's 29. He's only played 11 first-class games, and suddenly he's getting an England cap. That's like you or I suddenly getting spotted on playing on a Sunday morning, playing a dozen of games for the town, and next thing you know, old... Mr. Capello's on the phone giving you a run up front. Almost, and maybe not.
I mean, he did call me up the other day, and I've got a bit of an injury. But it just seems to be not a lot of joined up thinking with the England cricket set up generally at the moment. Don't you think? With the sort of, well, certainly with the bowlers, and also with the way that some of the, Collingwood dropped for one game, having scored, he's having an average of very little this season, and then brought back for the next match without really having done anything in between.
Well, it was okay. I mean, they were fairly consistent. Things were going quite nicely, but suddenly it all went Pete Tong. I don't know why. There was too much red wine one night. Something went wrong, but it was fairly consistent. You had to earn your place. They've had a lot of injuries. They can't make sense for the injuries they've had. They've had to work around the injuries. They've done quite well. But suddenly, on that morning, on that day, it all went completely pear-shaped, and they paid badly for it. And now they'll panic. If they lose this test, they'll panic. They'll have all sorts of omissions and people coming in from all over the shop. I mean, I might even get a look in.
Wicket keepers is another thing.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, I mean, clearly the best wicket keeper at the moment is Foster, I think. It tends to be that...
Chris Reed is the best technical wicket keeper. Chris Reed. But your man before didn't like him... Fletcher didn't like Reed, so he sideballed Reed, who is the best technical wicketkeeper.
I think Foster. Every time I see Foster, he doesn't let anybody down. I have to say, and also he can bat more than Reed can. But
that's why Reed lost his place.
But the thing is, at the moment you're looking at picking wicketkeepers because they can bat and then seeing whether they can keep wicket as a sort of secondary thing. And at the moment, we're ending up with people like Ambrose who can't really do either particularly well.
I think the problem is as well, you can look all over the side now, you can put question marks. We've gone from having a settled side which played six games consecutively, I think, which was certainly an English record, if not a record at all test levels. We had a settled side, we won four, drew two in that run of six games, and we've suddenly now, we haven't got it's almost like we've lost all confidence in all the good things that we've done before, and you can almost put question marks over every single one of the side. Maybe not Panesar. Flintoff, I think, is on his way back. He's showed signs in certainly all sit through to some that he's getting back to somewhere like he can do. But he'll be the first to admit probably he's not the full way there yet. Bell, I think, has done all right.
Bell has shown great. Runs. He's been able to take things on, hasn't he? Because he tended to have that thing of getting in for a little while and getting out again, where his mind obviously drifted, didn't it?
Well, you forget we're missing the one player who would do well. And again, it's not the selector's fault. He's Trescothick. That's a hell of a loss for the team.
Yeah.
He's a fantastic player. He could knock balls all over the park, and I still think that was one of the biggest losses we've had in that team. You saw him play last week, 130 odd on the TV. Just majestic. We are missing him.
He's
but it's not the selector's fault.
He?
He's decided to dip out. It's just unfortunate.
Yeah.
But Monty's there. A dry wicket, a dusty wicket. We have a decent spinner. He might just, let's pray, get some wickets tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, a live update after 6.4 overs. South Africa are 17 for naught. McKenzie 5 and Smith 7. And extras 5. But extras, he scores a few runs, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Usually against us.
It's true. Again, it does, as you say, first innings, England, 200 and what was it?
231.
Not good enough, though, is it?
And
it's probably not going to be good enough to win the test match, is it?
And as England have tended to do, as soon as we lose one or two wickets and the whole side just seems to implode, you might get someone who stems the tide like Flintoff did to a point today, but no one was there to back him up at all. And we get run over a bit like our, I'm using a football analogy, like Ipswich's midfield has done in games of yesterday. Well, not even that. So long ago. Some of the better sides would. I mean, I remember that Wigan game, I think, a couple of years ago, when they beat us 2-1, 3-1 at Portman Road. And they, I think it was Joe Rawley, who was manager at the time, said they came and they ran right through us, they ran all over us, we had no answer to them.
It's when they came with lots of young, fit midfield players against people like Jim and Horlock and Curry and I don't know who else was there, but it was the likes of Bullard and people like that, wasn't it, in their midfield that kind of ran the show that day, wasn't it?
I've just broken my watch live on air.
Live watch breaking on air.
Let me put that now out of the way. There we go. Anyway, that's enough of cricket. I think we've had a bit of a rant long enough about that.
Well, yeah, we actually made a quarter of an hour out of something we were going to gloss over.
So,
go on Speedway, come on.
Go on Speedway.
I don't know what I'm talking about, that's sign of a rest.
Let's have a quick Vultures Venture and Todd's Tip update before we launch into a whole new subject. Let's turn the page to this week's featured race.
Where was it last week then? Where was the scores?
Oh, God. I think the Vulture was about £1 or so up.
Really?
And Toddler's about £6 down, so I think that makes Vulture, about £6 or £7 up on the Toddler, so he's clearly winning. The last week we both went for the same horse, and said horse finished fifth, so nobody got anything out of that.
He's not going for that kind of tactic of when you're ahead, you just kind of
keep blocking,
try and match, do exactly the same as your opponent.
No, well, funnily enough, in fairness, neither of us knew what the other had picked.
Oh, really?
Lauren obviously didn't have a clue, because you can't read yet, and Tim didn't, and the Vulture didn't let me know until we were on air, so no, I can't blame him for any dodgy dealings for that, but he's, this week we've gone for, in the Galway Festival, I think it's the 420 or 350 or something like that tomorrow anyway. There's a field of around about 50 horses declared when I looked at it on the internet, so there's plenty to choose from. The Vulture has gone for Miss Fancy Pants, as is his usual trick on a Saturday night, to be fair. And the Toddler has gone for Indian Pace, so something England could probably do with. So we'll see how they get on, and we'll hopefully get an update to Phil and Graham on next week's show to see what the final outcome was. So, that's the latest. Nothing to report. Lauren's going for her first victory in the summer. Tim's going for favourites by the looks of it again. So we'll see where we get. Anyway, Speedway.
Yeah, Speedway. Where's it at, lads? I don't know.
Ray's got some hot gossip, which he's not allowed to give us the full details, but you can kind of allude to it, I'm sure, Ray.
No, there's just two bits of news to brighten the lives of Ipswich supporters, I hope. As far as I know, Friday we'll be getting a new rider, which will give us up to 7 riders in the team. He's... can't reveal his name, but if all goes well, he's an excellent rider. Jesse's for Ipswich many times and rides Foxhall very well, so the long-suffering Ipswich supporters, that will be good news, we hope. And then next week, the second appeal against Swindon. Swindongate rumbles on. There's a big meeting of the Speedway hierarchy, and hopefully they'll decide to see sense and give us a rematch we want. So that hasn't died to death by any means, that. So could be a good 4 or 5 days for Richie's fans, so let's hope that all comes off.
Oh, breaking news, Flintoff's taking a wicket.
Hey!
17-1. Bold Flintoff caught Strauss.
Who was out for?
Smith for 7.
Good. He got 267 last time he played here, so that's good to get rid of him.
Yeah, fairly cheap.
More than I hold first innings to get.
So hang on, I'm kind of non-Speedway fan, but I do know roughly what the Swindon thing's about. But in brief terms, and without too many kind of Ipswich bias, what is the issue?
They rode an ineligible rider. He scored 7 points.
Well, they couldn't read his name.
No, not on the eligible rider. Polish ones.
It's the last programme, so he's going to go out on a high. We appealed that they broke the rules, cheated, whatever you want to call it.
The rule that they broke was
ineligible. Right, he was not eligible.
Why was he ineligible?
Because the averages, and he had too high an average to ride.
But they've just released the new averages, is that?
That was a week before, and they shouldn't have ridden him.
But their claim at the appeal was that the averages, they were only informed that the new average had been released the afternoon of the game when they were, the meeting when
that's
they were already
travelling. That's fabricated tosh.
That's just nonsense.
Fabricated tosh. And Speedway is run by one or two people who we mustn't mention, and they think that the decision was made and we'd go away and settle down and be good boys and disappear. But that's not going to happen. It's been taken further than any other appeal before, so the powers will be in a meeting next week, and they might just realise that if they don't give us what we should have, it will go on, because a barrister has been hired, a barrister will appear for Ipswich if it goes forward, and costs have already been muted with them, so I think they might be scared off, I hope so.
Well,
but ineligible teams in football, Brecon City, Bury, have been kicked out of the competition for finding ineligible players.
Well, these got Tiptree, for example.
That's how we got John Walters.
They cannot walk over the rules and get away with it, and they will not get away with it. And this time they've picked the wrong, and the promotions at Ipswich have been very good. We've found them a barrister, we've done very well, we've got it sorted, and these boys at the Speedway board will have a little bit of a think to do next week.
Yeah. Well, so, in your opinion, Ray, is it high time we've got a 7th rider in if this rumour comes to fruition?
Definitely, because 6 rides in the team, it puts a strain on riders, a strain on equipment. It's you're rushing around, and when we get the rider who I think is coming Friday, he's an excellent person, and I think that gives a hell of a boost for the rest of the season. He'll score lots of points. He'll be well liked. I think the Ipswich people like him.
They'll take to him, won't they?
I think so. So Friday night, watch your news.
Yeah.
It does depend on the chain of events, so it could all go Pete Tong, but hopefully it will happen, and that will be fantastic. And then the first match, I think, will be Bellevue away on Monday.
Yeah.
3 points.
Yeah, I mean, you said off air the gentleman, the rider in question's name. I won't say him on there, but if it is who we all think it could be, then it'll be an excellent signing. And I think we can go to the... Well, it's a blessing in disguise having the Wolves game rained off on Monday night. We've got Bellevue on this Monday. A couple of away wins are very much potentially on the cards there.
Well, it's 3 points makes a big difference, you know. Because we won a game last week on TV against Swindon at home and went down a place. The two teams behind us won and we went down a place to fifth. So.
Actually, Ray, I remember a conversation we had live on air at the very start of the run of the programmes 12 shows ago. We were saying that the Speedway scoring system has changed this. It's only 2 points for a home win, but 3 for an away win, therefore to incentivise the away team to try and win the match. But we also made the point that if you're 10 points down with 10 races to go, you're kind of inclined to chuck in the towel and not go for the aggregate point as you would have got in the past.
Exactly.
And you came and I asked you your opinion. You said, well, come back to us in a few weeks. So, Ray, what is your opinion on that?
Well, I think you're right. It does kill the meeting. If you're 10 points down, why stretch your bike? Why stretch yourself? I think Pete Simmons had the right idea. I think he said have 3 points for each home and away and a bonus point for the aggregate. So three for home win, 3 for away win, and 1 point for the aggregate. So there's still some incentive to do well if you're getting hammered.
Yeah, but is that not just the same as 2-2-1 then? 3-3-1.
Yeah. Well, you don't really get draws very often in Speedway, do you?
Well, we have a draw at Swindon. Funny enough, early in the season, we drew 45-45. I should have won the meeting, actually, but... So you do occasionally get them.
I know, but it's not...
It's relatively unusual.
You know, people don't play for draws, do they, in the manner they do in football? It's very difficult to contrive a draw, wouldn't it?
Well, a lot of teams do certainly contrive to draw the heats, because I think Swindon being a case in example, you've got Lee Adams, who's one of the best riders in the world, who you know is probably going to win most races he rides in. But because of the way the averages and the way the teams are put together in Speedway, to have him in your side, it's a bit like fantasy football. If you have Cristiano Ronaldo in your side, you've got to sacrifice and have a Stoke defender or a Hull defender in your side who's going to probably cost you points. So what they tend to do in Speedway is let Lee Adams win the race and just make sure they fill in the minor places to get a drawn heat and then dominate the rest of the meeting. And that's where the skill in putting the side together is. You've got to get quite a balanced side, but you've also got to get riders who are going to score the points. It's the balancing act that the likes of Pete Simmons and John Louis have to battle every year.
Well, Pete's doing a fantastic job. He's got the art of doing that. He only made one mistake the other week, I think, which you could have questioned, but in the whole season, that's nothing. He's doing a fantastic job, and his use of guests, particularly when we could use a guest for when Chris was out, was superb. So hopefully a bit of impetus Friday will push us on to playoffs and hopefully top two.
Which is still very much a possibility. So so that's Speedway. That just remains 5 minutes to go, last 5 minutes of the show to start running into football.
Finger
on the pulse, Mr. Ham. What's happening?
Brain tree game going this evening then.
Are you coming, Ray? Are we going to talk you into this live on air?
Visit to Cressing Road. How things so far? We had a few kind of enormous number of transfer rumours in the last couple of days that just appear to have basically no basis, except for the Bobo Baldi one, which actually I was quite surprised about. I thought that was kind of one of those sort of stories that just comes and then immediately disappears. But Jim has confirmed that he's a player that he quite likes.
If these wages of £28,000-£30,000 a week are to be a true, there's obviously no way we'll pay anything like that.
No.
He'd be lucky to get anywhere near half of it. So,
but the thing is, he's got a year left on that Celtic deal. He's what, 32, 33?
Yeah.
Celtic are letting him go. Presumably, if he says, oh, I'm not going to go to Ipswich or Wolves because the money isn't good enough there, Celtic would just end up paying him £28,000 a week for the rest of the year of his contract. So it would make sense for Celtic to go and say to him, well, look, we'll settle the final year of your contract at a specified level. Therefore, allowing him to go to Ipswich or Wolves or whatever on, say, what, £15,000, something like that, for two years, something like that, at his age.
Yeah.
And you'd probably, from his perspective, he'd definitely probably be playing for the next couple of years, and ultimately probably be slightly better off than he would have been if he just sits on his contract.
Yeah. He strikes me as one of these kind of players, very much in Danny Shittu, or is it Clark Carl? No, not Clark Carl, what's his name? at Burnley. Is it Clark Carlisle?
Yeah.
It's Clark Carlisle.
I think it's
Clark Carlisle, yes. Sorry. Couldn't think of his first name.
Yeah, the only thing about him is he's got an injury, hasn't he? I'm sure that I read that he had quite a bad knee injury, and he was told by a specialist, you know, it's not going to really recover. And then he kind of cured it by the power of prayer.
Really?
I'm fairly certain it was him.
Well, yeah. I've heard of Matt Holland's, was it Brightling season? He used to go for a paddle every Friday lunchtime, but
I could be maligning him or getting him mixed up with someone else, but I'm fairly certain it was him who through the power of prayer cured his injury, or whether he cured it through injury or just kind of through prayer, or whether it was just misdiagnosed. It's a moot point, but I'm sure it was him. But you know, he's obviously got this kind of injury in the background, and he has got this kind of image of being having a sort of Titus Bramble-esque moments, doesn't he?
Yeah, so he's brilliant for 89.5 minutes, and he'll go do something completely daft and cost you the game.
Yeah, sort of like that. But clearly he's you know, you don't get to play for Olympique Marseille, do you? And Celtic for a number of years without being a decent player.
I can remember
player.
Him being sent off in the UEFA Cup final a few years back. When Celtic invaded, Lisbon, somewhere like that, wasn't it?
And they're playing, Porto they were playing, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's because they had the final in their home.
Was it played in Sevilla, but it was against Porto?
Could have been, I forget now.
Yeah.
I can remember him being sent off in that game.
Yeah.
But who do you think our striker's going to be, Ray? I know you're a man who likes a striker.
Well, yeah, you spent the whole of last year going, we need to buy a striker, and we brought in a striker, and it's Kevin Lisby. What do you think?
He's injury prone. I do like the sound of this Tenorio that we're supposed to be looking at. He's playing in the Middle East, this Ecuadorian who...
No, but I think that was just speculation on a claim that we were after a Middle Eastern
player. Well, some speculation this summer. We could have bought the whole team 10 times over, but I think Lisby looks good. I think he looks sharp, he looks quick, he looks... whether he'll last a whole season, I'm not sure. I hear Alan Lee missed a few sittings last night.
Played well though, apparently. I heard he played quite well. Him and Lisby formed a reasonable partnership.
You might think we've got enough strikers. I don't know. I'm still not sure we've got a 20-goal-a-season man in there.
Well, Maynard's on his way to Bristol City by all accounts today.
Jim's already kind of ruled himself out of Maynard, didn't he? So.
And at Bristol City, after the Egyptian fellow Moteb and Misford transfers both fell through pretty much the 11th and a half hour.
Very strange. I think the Egyptian fellow was actually the Middle Eastern bloke that was rumoured, just simply on the basis that he was almost signing for a club almost of our size. I was reading in the Egyptian press. Now I did see a thing on the website that the Egyptian lad is going to sign a new contract with his Egyptian club. So that seems less likely now. Than I don't think it's likely anyway, to be honest. But it's a big. He wants the big man, doesn't he? The Charisteas, Amiobi, Lafferty. They're all 6'3" strikers.
We don't want Kevin Kyle, do we?
Oh God, no.
I would be amazed if we were after someone like that.
Been mentioned.
People have been mentioned. Yeah,
Steve Howard is the other one who was mentioned in the same report. He did well for Derby a couple of years back, but I think and he was old and slow then. He's even older and slower now.
I know.
And I don't think he's
You might as well just stick a very tall wardrobe up front. Isn't the mobility he doesn't play the kind of football that we would want.
The whole point is that you look to bring in better quality than you've already got, and you can't tell me that Carl or Howard are any better than Alan Lee.
You're looking at types of player, and the types of player, you know, Harris-Dears, Amiobi, and Lafferty. They're all big fellas who've actually got decent feet as well. Now, that's the type. I mean, Howard is just a big bloke, isn't he? You might as well pick that. What's the other fella called? John Parkin. You might as well try and bring someone like him in. Or,
Big Mama.
Mamadi Sidibe,
Who would play for Stoke, coincidentally?
Oddly enough. if we're going to turn into Stoke City, you know, all well and good. But we're not, are we? And if we can think of someone who's a bit like Harris-Dears, Amiobi or Lafferty, that's going to be the kind of bloke that Jim wants to bring in up front, I would guess.
Can we just switch it down to left back?
Yes.
Are we happy with Pim? I'm very happy with Pim.
No, I thought it was awful.
You look like Pim.
I say awful. I didn't think he showed half as much as on Saturday as people had kind of led me to expect from the Gillingham game, where they sort of said, he's going to bomb up and down the flank and in a Herman-esque manner. I didn't think he did that at all. But having said that, the conditions really, really didn't lend themselves to that.
Not a lot of bombing going on Saturday.
No, there wasn't much. But I was, I just thought he looked like a centre half playing at left back. I really wasn't impressed.
Okay, well,
and I think he's been signed primarily as a left back, hasn't he? I mean, Thatcher, if it happens, I think it'd be a good signing. And so it just leaves this hole on the left of midfield still to sort out.
I think he's been signed as a left back. Yeah, Thatcher is obviously the target left back, possibly with a Honduran lad is another possibility.
Is he playing tonight?
Don't know.
Red, he hasn't got international clearance to play friendlies, is that right?
Yeah, international clearance seems to be the thing, doesn't it? And then there's...
We're not talking about they got the clearance before they flew him over here.
I don't know how it works, to be honest. And also, in fact, he was about 8 days late in the end, wasn't he?
More red tape than staples around this one, I think. But still. So anyway, we better leave it there. Just
we're going to go while we're running again.
So thanks very much for coming on, Ray. One more dance. How do you think the season's going to go for Town next year?
Can you ask me at the end of September? I'm quite confident. But Jim has got to make it. He's going to do it. If he's not up there in the top six by October, I think it'll be adios. I think Marcus Evans is quite clear. He's quite keen. He's quite serious. If Jim is struggling by October, he'll have a little chat.
I agree with that, but I expect us to be doing reasonably well.
Right. Okay. Right. That's it from the Naked Sports Show. Naked Football is back next week with Graham and Phil. I must just very quickly run through all my guests who have come on all through the summer. Thanks very much to the Vulture, obviously, for co-presenting. Danny Potter from Cambridge United, Chris Threary, Nick Knowles, Terry Newell from Speedworth, and in Terry's case, Ipswich Town. Pete Simmons from The Witches, Lewis Osborne from Cycle Speedway World. Graham Blackburn, Rowena last week, Ray again tonight, and Richard Danes, the tennis coach. Thanks very much, one and all. Hopefully we'll be back next year. And till then, see you then.